Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show, hosted by author, investor, money partner, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris, equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
Hi, this is Bruce Norris. Thank you for joining us. Today we're joined by Mike and Randy Grigg with California Premier Auctions. Welcome, both of you.
Thanks,
thank you.
Randy, I'll start with you. How did you, what's your background in real estate as far as either an investor or a realtor that represented other people for, you know, selling their properties, if you did any of that?
Yeah, I started back in 1977 and pretty much was a part-time investor and long-term holder of property. Mm-hmm. Bought 2 to 4 houses a year, and we kept them all. We learned how to manage and whatnot, and I had a career on the side in agriculture as mm-hmm. a consultant. And then about 7 years ago, I decided to do the buy and sell thing and learned quickly that it was more difficult than everyone made it sound to be. Mm-hmm. And then from there, realized that selling was very difficult and thought that there was better ways than the traditional method. And so we decided to do the try the auction. Okay. And that's how we got involved.
Okay, so you've never really represented as a you've never been a realtor representing people the normal listing way. You've been selling properties only in the last say 5 or 6 years, but only through an auction. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and what led you to think that was a good idea? We've talked before about that one experience you had. So why don't you just share that with us?
Well, pretty much, I had gone through a rehab, and it took 3 closings in order to actually close, and it cost me a lot of money because the holding cost went from what I thought was 2 months and it went to about 9 months, and I thought I had a profit, but I didn't at the end when I finally got my check at closing.
Okay.
So I actually said, gosh, you know, in my mind I thought there's got to be another better way to do this. So there was an auction that was being advertised in my neighborhood. And I saw the big auction sign, and I decided I'd participate. I went there and got all the information, the bidder packet, and all that good stuff, and found out that it was going to take about $10,000 to participate, and I thought I'd be the only one there because mm-hmm. I didn't think anyone had $10,000 to participate in the auction. Anyway, I got there to the auction on auction day, and I had a hard time finding a parking place. There were so many people there. So went into the backyard, and they had a band, and they had a spread of food and everything like that. And the auctioneer started his chant after I had checked in, and lo and behold, after about the second bid, I was out of the running. And this property kept going and going and going and probably sold for about 5% over what I thought the true market value was at the time. So when I checked out of the auction, I drove away, and I said, you know, that's the way I'd like to sell property.
Okay.
And from there, it went into a business.
Now, Mike, you're the auctioneer that calls the sales. Mm-hmm. Were you involved in that before your dad just said, you know what, I think we're going to be an auction company?
No, not at all, actually. I went to auction college pretty much when we got into the business.
Okay.
And I always enjoyed being up in front of people and talking and stuff like that, so I thought it'd be a good fit for me, and that's kind of the story there.
It really is a good fit. Yesterday at the seminar, that was great. I mean, that audience was cranked up inside of a very short period of time. What's the psychology in an auction? What are you trying to accomplish, you know, as far as the mood, and is the mood a real important facet of how the bidding goes?
Well, it's pretty rudimentary as far as you want people to have fun, number one.
Right.
If they're having fun, they're not going to be as nervous, and they're not really going to be thinking about what they're bidding. They're just you get them in a competitive mode, and that's really what the auction's driven from, is just that just raw desire to compete. But as far as the bidding goes, it's pretty simple. You just want to drive the price up as fast as you can and get it sold.
Okay. Sense of humor, is that important?
Absolutely.
Okay, because that's what I noticed when you were playing with the audience. It seemed very comfortable and natural, which it probably is.
Uh-huh.
But I've watched auctions where it hasn't been there, and it was uncomfortable.
Right.
It was a much different process. You made it lighthearted.
Right.
It was good for them to feel that way. Maybe that loosens them up and gets them to bump up the bid.
It really does. And you almost have to take an approach when you're up there selling something that you're just a person, they're just a person. You're almost communicating with all of them at once, and you want them to have fun, want them to laugh, and you want them to remember your auction so they come back to another one.
Okay.
And that's the best way to do it.
When people attend auctions, a lot of times are they kind of just looky-loos, but in a way they're sort of seeing if they might want to try their property out at the auction?
Absolutely. I think a lot of, you know, we might have 75 people standing in front of a house. There's always a crowd that you're going to draw by doing an auction. And you might have out of that 75, 15 or 20 actual bidders.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we encourage anybody that is interested to see how we work and how the auction process works with our company to come to one of our auctions and actually witness it. And they're more than welcome to do that.
What's unusual about your auction company is that you really started when there was virtually no auctions, because auctions generally get very popular in an economy for real estate like we're in right now, and then completely disappear between years, let's say 1998 all the way to 2005, and yet you really started mm-hmm. yours at a very unique period of time. Did auctions in a boom cycle often surprise you at what people were willing to pay for property? In other words, you pick a number in your head and you think this is probably what it's going to go for,
yeah.
and then all of a sudden the crowd said, no, I really like that a whole lot more than you thought.
We had one auction that we did during that boom cycle, and it just floored us. It was we did two actually that were pretty close to one another. One was in an Arcadia. It was in a great area, just a fantastic area near the racetrack. And we had 76 registered bidders, and they all brought $40,000 cashier's check for the right to own this single-family house in a nice area.
Wow.
And it just went crazy. It was really amazing. And then we had another property that was a sixplex that we did in Los Angeles. And I think we had, 12 registered bidders, something like that? We had
12 or 15.
12 or 15 registered bidders, and they all brought $50,000 cashier's checks, and that property went for $800,000, and then he went to get it appraised, and the best appraisal he could get was like $500,000.
Oh my goodness.
So he said, man, how do I get out of this deal, you know? And we said, well, you got $50,000 that you live with, you know. So he got it done, believe it or not. He closed on the $800,000 property.
His rent
save
control.
50 grand.
Save
50
grand.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
You know, there's an interesting psychology when you teach a seminar. If you have an audience that hasn't had to pay, it's one audience. And if somebody pays a fair amount, then it's another type of audience. Is that true with an auction where if your opening bid demands, say, a $2,000 deposit as opposed to a $40,000 one, do you really attract a lot more of a serious bidder?
Absolutely. It's just the simple fact that they have a lot better shot of closing it because they have some cash.
Yes.
And especially now with the way the market's turned, the lenders are not just doing that 100% financing, handing out money like candy anymore.
Right.
So you almost have to have 5% minimum now to buy something anyway.
Yeah, I never thought about that. You really know they have the down payment because you already have it.
Yeah, you already have it in your hand.
Lenders acknowledge that if it's on your side of the table, but they have in fact presented it? Is that acknowledged as a part of the down?
It happens all the time.
Okay.
And that... The deposit that we hold could, you know, you don't have to use it if you do qualify for 100% financing. You just get it back at close of escrow.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What qualifies a seller as a good candidate for an auction? In other words, what kind of makeup as far as the type of property they have and also how they're viewing what they want out of the property? Can you give us a prototype? Is like, that's the right seller.
Sure. Well, you know, perfect world, they call and they say, I need to get rid of this. Where do I sign? I mean, that's your ideal seller. Yeah,
exactly. And it's like the house buying business. I want to hear, I need to dump the, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. And you know, we always say it helps to be in a good equity position, but a lot of people aren't in a good equity position right now. And it's almost, you know, if you get out now, you're not going to lose as much as if you wait and try to get out later. So, you know, that's tough to tell someone sometimes, hey, you got to come out of pocket $15,000 to get this thing done. But at least we're getting it done and we're probably saving them $20,000 if they wait, you know, another six or 10 months to get it done.
Do you find that, let's say we go down this next 18 months and there's going to be a lot of REO comps and there's going to be a lot of auction comps. How do appraisers, and just a little bit off the subject, how do appraisers view comps that come from other than normal sales? Are they really competing against what somebody can get an appraisal for at some point? Or does the appraisal world just say that's kind of a motivated sale and that's not really, we're not going to pay attention to that?
Probably has to do with the percentage of that.
Okay. You know,
if there's a whole bunch of REOs, you got to give some credence to that. If there's hardly any, then you wouldn't give as much preference when okay. you do your appraisal.
We've both seen auctions that didn't work so hot. Mm-hmm. And what usually is the cause of an auction that just doesn't get the crowd and doesn't work?
Usually it's a marketing problem, typically, or it could be just the property is not doesn't have any demand. Sometimes we see properties that they try to auction that just have zero demand, pretty much. But the biggest flaw that I see is just the marketing program that some of the auction companies use.
Okay.
They just don't draw the people.
Do you think it's an important part of your job then to look at the inventory that somebody's asking you to auction and sometimes say it just won't work?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
What would fall under that kind of what kind of inventory? Let's say in this market of 2007, what would fall under that guideline where you go, I just don't think it'll work?
I had a guy in our office yesterday, and he had four parcels of land.
Yeah.
And it was doing good maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, but we were really reluctant, even though he was willing to sell almost absolute. You know, mm-hmm. we just didn't want to do it because we didn't think there would be enough demand.
Yeah, that absolute number might be a lot different
yeah,
than what he thought.
Yeah, he had a number. When they say absolute, you know, it's like
they still have a number
in their mind that they want to get.
Yeah,
the last thing we want to do is make people mad at us.
Sure, an absolute / seller reserve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk about that concept and why you chose the type you have? So an absolute auction is the last bid is going to take it, and the seller reserve is at the end of the game. The seller gets to say yes or no. You've leaned toward the seller reserve. How did you guys come to that conclusion that that was the best one?
Most of the clients that we deal with are investors, and the investors have a number. We know they have a number. We know they want to get the highest price in the shortest period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So they need a floor. And we use a seller confirmation style where we don't publish a number.
Okay. Now, do you find that that's advantageous in running ads? So I've seen auctions that, you know, if you have an absolute auction ad, that's attractive for a bidder because, the worst they do as far as advertising, you have a shot. When you get a seller reserve price that's so close to the value of it, there's no motivation. You go, I wouldn't want it anyway.
Yeah.
Is there a number that would work, or are you just better off with no number? I notice your ads sometimes say, you know, buyer gets to choose the price or something along that line. So what's the psychology of the ad that works best as far as getting the most response to you?
Well, what we've noticed is we don't like to publish a price when we have a seller confirmation. However, we will put a suggested opening bid. And the suggested opening bid is a very, very low price, like maybe on a $400,000 property, it might be $100,000.
Okay. And somehow the mind translates that into sort of that minimum reserve number to where there's hope that 100 grand is the mental. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Now, you use that verbiage very carefully. Is there a reason for that? A suggested opening bid is different legally than an opening bid?
Yes.
It really is.
Okay.
A lot of people don't realize that, and we see so many of these auction companies springing up everywhere now, and they're using minimum bid and to really mean an opening bid,
right,
or really truly to mean a suggested opening bid.
Right.
And so there's terminology that you really need to watch out for. You could get in trouble.
You could get stuck with somebody saying the opening bid, and their assumption is we're done.
Yeah.
And in fact, you might be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know.
Absolutely. That's a good word.
And really the – It's not necessarily wrong to say this is an opening bid without using suggested, but the general public that doesn't know all the auction terminology, they're going to take that as a minimum bid when they see opening bid. So if you put suggested, it shows that you, the auction company, are saying, hey, this is probably this is probably where we're going to start, or this is a good place to start.
Right.
So it's more fair than putting, you know, starting bid or opening bid or minimum bid when it indeed is not.
When you guys hold an auction, it's almost always in front of the property itself.
Yes.
And to me, that's a little bit of a wild card, but it's worked for you. Have you ever been surprised about some odd occurrence that you were, wow, I wish that hadn't happened?
We did have a fun one in Long Beach. It was a property that was in good condition, but it was in a bad condition area, so to speak. Pretty much a war zone type place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the garage was a crack house. And when we arrived on auction day, there were some homeless people there that were drinking fairly
consistently.
to a point where they weren't feeling real well, and they were right in front of our checkout table because, you know, it wasn't a big front yard. So they were right there. So I had to entice them to get a hamburger. So I took them and bought them a hamburger down the road. And then the road was being worked on too. So there was this grader that was making all this noise going back and forth on the road. And so I had to stop him. I said, it'll only be 10 minutes. We'll be done. You know, please, you know, I'll even pay you. And he said, no, you don't. I'll stop for a while. And so that worked out pretty good.
Okay.
And it turned out to be a good auction. The lady that bought the house at that auction wrote us a check for the full amount.
After
the sale.
I guess that'll close, huh?
Yeah.
You do a buyer premium at the end of the auction. And how do you guys decide on that type of fee as opposed to a commission to the person that owns the property?
The psychology behind the buyer's premium is that when the commission's paid on the buyer's side, there is a chance that that the buyers will go through the commission and it won't even be included in your price when you go to get the final bid. We found that happens about 50% of the time. Whereas when it's on the seller's side, it's coming out no matter what. Whatever your price is, that commission's coming out.
Okay.
The reason we tend to do a 10% buyer's premium, and the reason we use that number, it's an easy number to calculate in your head. You know, if you throw, for example, a 6% buyer's premium out there, someone's going to stop pretty early because they're not going to know how to calculate 6% on top of their bid. 10%, you're at, you know, 300,000, it's 330.
Yeah.
6% of 300,000, that'd be a tough number to calculate quickly.
In your advertising, or let's say somebody comes to a website, your website, and says, I want to be a buyer, and is there an explanation of that buyer premium and what?
Absolutely.
How that calculates and
absolutely
stuff.
There's an example and everything of, you know, if the property sells for so-and-so dollars, this is the buyer's premium, this is your total purchase price. And it's not something we hide from any of the buyers. We want them to know about it, obviously.
Sure.
But when you get into the heat of competition at the auction, a lot of times people tend to, it slips their mind and they bid right through it. So.
Okay. Now, have you had people come to the table and go, oh, wow, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
About 50% of the time.
Oh, my goodness. And it's still okay.
Well, it has to be okay.
It has to be okay.
They don't have a choice.
We're clapping so loud and shaking their hands so vigorously that they say, well, I guess we're okay with that little bit more that we paid.
And you always make the buyer feel like they got a deal no matter what. You never want to celebrate as a seller or an auction company that, wow, we did great there. We doubled what it was really worth. You always want to look kind of sad and go, man, we really had to convince the seller to take this one, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, there's a psychology that plays in the whole process. But when you actually, having tried to do an auction, and we really tried really hard, there must have been little pieces along the way that we didn't do correctly. So when an auction, we would go back to that other question where there's auctions that don't work. There's a lot of stages that have to be done exactly right for you to get response from an ad. Then when they show up to an open house, is there some things that if they're not done correctly there that you lose the crowd?
Absolutely. The first stage is developing the marketing. Second stage is getting the marketing out there and taking phone calls and driving those people to your open house. The next stage would be actually conducting the open house and trying to drive them to be bidders at the auction. But you have to be really careful with how you speak with people when they're asking you questions, because you're, in essence, you're asking them to come to a non-contingent, as-is, non-refundable deposit sale.
Mm-hmm.
And when there's other people out there offering their properties with a $100,000 kickback and, you know, 2% down, if any. So it's like, you know, you want to be real careful. You only want to answer questions that they ask. You don't want to tell them too much. They don't ask, you don't answer it.
Okay. Now, when they respond to any kind of advertising, is that answered live? Is that important?
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, we try to answer everything we can. Obviously, there's times where you may not get a live person, but we really try to stay on top of that.
Okay.
We feel it's important.
What might you say inadvertently that would discourage someone from attending, where you think, you shouldn't have said that?
The first thing I think is if you have a confirmation sale or reserve type auction, I think the key is you don't want to say right off the bat, this is a reserve auction. Because they're going to think the seller's wanting too much and he's just using an auction to try to get people there.
So they're almost looking for a reason not to go at that point.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So you want to get as many people there as you can.
Yeah.
How important is a website these days as far as in how it helps an auction?
Extremely important.
Oh, yeah.
Extremely. I mean, if an auction company doesn't have a website, I would say run the other way if you're going to use them. I mean, first of all, it saves. I'm convinced that there's probably 30 to 50%, and I don't know that for a fact, but the calls that we don't have to take because of the website.
Absolutely. Those charts that we used yesterday at the seminar really dictated that.
Right.
It looked like the whole world had changed to be self-sufficient. Let me go and take it as far as into the process on my own as I can.
Right. And the nicest thing about a website is if you have a good stat counter program linked to your site, you can see where people are coming from. You know, when a newspaper ad breaks on a given day, if your number skyrockets up and hits on the website, you know that newspaper ad did its job.
Right.
So you can, I mean, you can find out down to the country where people are coming from, down to the city, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one thing that's different about an auction company is you really have to get response. A realtor, you know, might be at the whim of a client and they're saying, well, we want this and we want this, and the realtor may even know it won't work. So when you get an advertising check from a seller, I would assume it's real important that you get to tell them how you're going to spend the money because you know what works.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
And not to say that if we're in an area that we're not 100% familiar with, we always ask the sellers, you know, what do you think is going to bring some buyers in, and we'll take their advice
and where is the buyer going to come from?
Right.
Too.
Okay.
Right.
We're about out of time. Let me just ask one more question. As far as the open house, there seems to be less open homes for an auction and smaller time frames for auction open houses. Is there a psychology to that?
Psychology is that you want that urgency, and if you have too many open houses, you allow them too much time to think. And basically, we're trying to create urgency every step of the way. So our open houses are 2 hours in length,
mm-hmm.
and that's it. And we open right at say 1, and we close right at 3. And we only do 2 or 3 of those.
Mm-hmm. And it's important for those people to see other people there at that time too.
Right. Auction is just putting a deadline on your sale. It's telling the people, if you want to buy this place, and you want to see it be here at this time, or you're going to miss the opportunity.
What phone number would you like to give the people that are interested in the auction? Please give that.
It's 661 area code.
Okay.
325-6500.
And a website for?
Website. We have two websites, one designed for sellers. That would be sell, S-E-L-L, with, W-I-T-H, auction.com.
Okay.
And buyer's website, if you're interested in buying, would be auctionca.com.
Okay. Well, Mike and Randy, glad you were able to join us today, and thanks for explaining the auction business to us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com or email questions and or comments to radio@thenorrisgroup.com. We'll see you next week at 5:30 here on News Talk 590 KTIE.